Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Friday morning's edition. And as we continue in this lesson alone, these lines about understanding laws of the kingdom, or application of the kingdom of God. And when we say application, in other words, there's a demonstration that comes with living under this new order, living by these laws called the kingdom of God, or the laws of the king. And so God is our king. Jesus has presented us as King of Kings, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he's made us kings and priests to do what? To live by the rules that has he's taken by force. He's taken by violence. Remember we talked about day before yesterday that the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I talked about this in my our church Wednesday night, our online Bible school Wednesday night. And what that is simply saying is that, you know, and Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, but he was talking about how the kingdom of God suffered violent. And so when you think about the word suffered violent, that means it's talking about, it's empowered, it's overpowered. The kingdom of God overpower darkness, overpower the forces of darkness. And so, and you and I have this attribute living on the inside of us. I can't really express this enough to reveal to you how much authority that you and I have because we are in Christ Jesus. So when we say the kingdom of God suffered violent and the violent is taken by force, that means you and I have, because of the blood of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus, we have the right to overpower whatever manner of sickness, whatever manner of disease, whatever manner of what the crisis, the circumstances are. And I know you may be looking at yourself, you know, because how did this happen? Why did this happen? These things only happen because we didn't know what to do. We didn't know that we were in this position as a kingdom-minded person or as one that lived in the kingdom of God. So it's one thing to be born into the kingdom, but then it's another thing to have the mindset, because that's where the breakdown comes from. That's where the breakdown is having the mindset of the kingdom, learning to function from that mindset and overpower what is happening in this physical realm at the moment. You and I are authorized. We've been empowered with the kingdom, with the kingship anointing to do what? To step in and override death, override sickness, override pain, override blindness, override dementia, Alzheimer, whatever the nature of it is. You and I have been dressed to kill. I mean, we are spiritually fit with the king's armor, and it's called truth. And notice this, when you know the truth, that John 8:32 said, Jesus said, when you know the truth, that truth you know, when we say that truth you know, that truth that you have intimacy with, like a man know his wife intimately, that's the way you have to know that truth. When you know the truth, when you intimately become one with that truth, the knowledge of that truth, then wisdom will give you the ability to apply what you know. But when you, what you don't know, what you don't have, and I'm not speaking intellectually, But this is how the enemy affects us. For he affects you in your intellect. He affects you through your emotion. To do what? To try to get you and I to see things in the light that he's presenting. Remember, he's using deceptive mode. He's in a deceptive mode. He's trying to use something to reveal to you in a way so that he can manipulate and take control of your thoughts because you opened the door to it. And that's the reason why 2 Corinthians 10:5 is so important to you and I, casting down imagination, because if you don't cast down imagination that trying to present itself above the knowledge of God's word, then again, he will hold you hostage through control, through manipulation, and before you know it, you'll be carrying out his will because you did not understand, you did not do anything about him controlling your mindset. You see, your mind is the control center. You know, just like a computer has a control center. Whoever controls the mind controls you. Are you following what I'm saying? So you and I must make our mind up every day, not just today, but tomorrow. God's willing, we see next week. Every day we wake up doing what? Renewing our mind to the kingdom of God that is in us, and make a decision that I'm going to live outside of this system, outside of the kingdom of this realm. And I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach out of the realm whereby I'm born again and begin to do what? Call those things that be not as though they were, until they are. I prayed for a man yesterday. He was talking about his knee, how he broke his leg and the pain that he was in. And he's a believer. And so I didn't have to do a whole lot ministering to him, but bring him into a place of changing his mindset about the pain that he's in at the moment and the therapy that he has gone through. And I just so happened to walk in the room. And I don't just normally just volunteer just to pray for anybody. I have to first get a witness on the inside to see whether or not it's okay. And so as the Lord was leading me, and he was talking to me about it. And I asked him, I said, do you believe that we can take authority over this pain in your knee? And you can get up and walk as though this never happened. Now, my faith is not in me. My faith is in the one who gave me this confidence. So what am I doing? I'm acting on it. And I said, I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to take authority over what you have a right to, just as I. And I coached him along what he should do. And then he begun to say, oh my, this pain is letting up. This pain is leaving. I said, well, we want it all gone. So once he took authority, then I just went on and laid my hand on his leg, because now I know he's in faith. And I released that anointing that he's already receiving into his knee. That man got up. And he started moving that knee, walking around on that knee. And I said, as you go out throughout the day or whatnot, you're going to walk pain-free. Now, I said, the enemy, at the end of the day, he's going to try to bring back the stiffness. He's going to try to bring back whatever that's in your knee. But you're going to have to tell him, nope, no, you don't. I don't accept that. 2,000 years ago, Jesus healed me. Yesterday, I received what is rightfully mine, and I'm not going to accept this. Now, get. That's how I told him, that's how you have to talk to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, see, if you don't, see, that's what we mean by the kingdom of God suffered violence. If you don't speak with a confident, if you don't speak with a knowing, then the enemy, I'm telling you, the enemy, this is why the Bible said, Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Why? Because his devices are used to, again, to control, to manipulate, and to put you in a, on a road to whereas that he is using, he wants to use your mindset as a control center. To control, so when a person like me speaking like I'm speaking, most people don't, they don't want, they will agree with what I'm saying, but they won't step out by faith and do what I'm saying because they're still looking at them. They're still thinking about, well, what if it doesn't happen? It's not on you. It's not about you. You are applying the laws of the kingdom that your Father has put you, has entrusted you with when you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. So we're not talking about you trying to get something. You already possess it. But until you start putting it in motion, it's just like having a tool. If you never use your tools that you have, you'll never know what that tool could do. You'll never know the things you could do with that tool just sitting there. That tool has to be used. When that tool is used, you become more confident. You become more sure that if I make this cut, I can make this cut. I can make that look like that because you got the right tool. But just because you have the right tool but never used it, then guess what? You're only halfway there until you know how to use what you know. Then change won't take place. It's the same thing about the Word of God. You have to actively, by faith, step out just like I did yesterday in the marketplace. Lay your hand on that knee. I have no fear that he's not going to get healed. I'm not fear because he's already been healed. He just got to walk it out. He just got to stand up on what he know. Yesterday in my lesson, I didn't even really teach. I used to spoke words of prophecy yesterday, words of healing. The word of knowledge came up on me yesterday just to minister to you, to the body of Christ. Yesterday, those who listen that follow us, especially those of you that are partners that with us or whatnot, then that means if something was wrong in your body, something was wrong in your business, something was wrong in your finances, then there was an anointing there for you to receive. Because why? You partner with this ministry. You partner with the word that you believe in the word that I'm speaking. And God releases that anointing because you open up to conceive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let's go to 1 Kings 17. This is where I wanted to go yesterday. This is what I intended to do. So let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look, let's look at 1 Kings 17, we started out looking at this yesterday, and I believe that we can get through this today. And what I want to do, this is, like I say, this is the end of week two of dealing with application or understanding laws of the kingdom. I want you to see here from, and this is grace, but it is concealed in an Old Testament way, but it is still by faith, okay? And notice in verse 1, it said, and Elijah the Tebite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, and he said unto Ahab, which was the king at that time, as the Lord thy God of Israel live, he said, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain these years, but according to my words. And so the famine of without rain was supposed to be like 3.5 years. And if you have a good reference Bible, the columns show that, especially when you get over to this woman with the widow, it had already been 1.5 years of with no rain. But let's just move on as we Let's just move on here as we are going through this lesson. Notice this. It says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now think about it. When he stood before God, when Elijah stood before Ahab and said, that should not be rain, but according to my word, that means he had to receive that word from God. And we'll show you that later. But now notice this. I want you to pay close attention to this. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, see, part of understanding of functioning in the laws of the kingdom, the word of the Lord will come to you. Not in a audible voice. It may. You know, I've had God to speak to me twice in 40-something years. But I can't live by God speaking to me through an audible voice. I mean, the first time God spoke to me in an audible voice, it shook me. I was excited at the same time, but I was afraid at the same. I didn't know what. I've never had nothing like that happen. And what that audible voice is, it's like God uses your vocal cord and he's speaking. He's using your vocal cord, but he's speaking his will. He's speaking his direction. And I'm speaking to someone. In actuality, this is how I ended up in Lafayette. Over 43, 44 years ago. This is how I ended up here. Because God spoke to me in a paint booth. I used to paint cars for a living. In a paint booth, God spoke to me. I mean, spoke through me. And to my manager at that time. And it was an amazing thing. And 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, he come back in there and told me I had an appointment here in Lafayette. I used to work for a company called Factor Bake. And I did all the painting. I even did, ran the back for a while as a shop foreman and whatnot. And it was like, it was amazing. So that's a story in itself. But my point is that you may not hear an audible voice. You may just have 99% of the time you will have what I call an inward witness. So when I say the word of the Lord especially came in, well, you see, it said the word of the Lord came to him. It came to him. So in some way, God made himself known outwardly because that's all he could do. And, think about Abraham when he first started the tithe in Genesis 14. How did Abraham know the tithe? It's just something in him. God ministered to him in a way that he just knew what to do. Under the new covenant, we have the blessing of the old and the new covenant, but we have none of the curses that was under the old, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the old, right? And so I'm just trying to get you to see that if you're looking for a voice to say, well, I need to hear from God on this. Well, the number one way of knowing God is speaking to you, he's going to lead you by your spirit. I would say 99% of the time, God will lead you by your spirit. And that's, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So you are led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is the Word of God. So the Spirit and the Word is not inseparable when it comes to the movement of God's hand. The Spirit and the Word works together as one, kind of sort of like grace and faith. You can't live by grace alone, and you can't live by faith. Grace is God's part of what he had made provision. Faith is the response of what God's provision. So we are taking faith as a mean to receive what grace has already made, sort of like salt. If you just use sodium and chloride, sodium by itself, you ingest enough of it and the chlorine enough, it can kill you. But you put them both together, you have what? Salt. Can you see that? That's the same thing here. When we say the word of the Lord, we'll say God will lead you by your spirit. So in other words, you say, well, how do I know that? You have a witness. That witness will be your peace. That peace will be your conscience, most of the time leading you as a way of guiding you. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because your conscience was also purged from dead works the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now that's for another lesson. But let me stick with this by saying the word of the Lord came to him. So I want you to see, just give you, not that you don't know, but just kind of what your appetite of knowing that when you, we say the word of the Lord, or the Lord spoke to me. Sometimes you hear that, the Lord spoke to me, or the Lord was leading me. All of these are different means that we hear. I heard the voice of the Lord. Sometimes you will hear a voice, but God will use your own voice to speak to you. It's the same thing what he did. He used my own voice, my vocal cord, to do it. But that way that God spoke to me through my voice was a more of an authoritative voice. It was something I couldn't deny. It was something I couldn't get away. I couldn't turn from. It was something that was, it was right now. It was so profound that, again, I ended up right here in this town and hadn't left. When I left, tried to leave one time, but God brought me back. Why? Because his plan is for us to be here. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so you begin to start living life out of that way of the Lord. And so here, when Elisha said the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, just like it did for me, saying, what is it doing? It's giving you a specific directive. Now, for 40-something years, I've been learning how to live the kingdom of God in this area, what he called me to. Now, I've made some headway, but I've not obtained all, because I've made a bunch of mistakes along the way, but thanks be unto God, he's not imputing our sins, you know, to us anymore, because Jesus dealt with it for us. But here's the point I want to make to you. Look at the thing he said. Get thee hence from there and turn eastward and hide thyself in the brook of Cherith before the Jordan. Now, if you're going to live by the application of the laws of the kingdom of God, there God will lead you in specific ways. You will know because your spirit is 100% God, and you can trust that God on the inside of you because it's God leading you. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. In other words, it's the same way that God ministered to Jesus. God is using the same mean of ministering to you and I through the blood of Jesus. And so the specifics we have here, number one, what he told him to do, get thee hence and turn eastward. And he said, and hide thyself in the brook of Cherith before the Jordan. And it shall be that when thou shalt drink of the brook, I have commanded the raven to feed thee there. Think about that for a moment. There's a famine. There's no water. There's no food. But God is saying, you see what else you use in Matthew 6:25-33, but take no thought for yourself what you should eat, what you should wear. All the things that Gentile people look to, God said, I already know that you have need of thee, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added. What thing? The food that you eat, the clothing that you have need of, the shelter that you have need of, the money that you have need of. God already know. But we put more emphasis up on our job, our education, and everything in this natural realm. Why? Because we figure if I don't do it, then how is it going to get done? Well, we know we can't sit by idle. God is not looking for us to sit by and be idle, but he is looking for us to know what? Our faith is in him. So what I do it as unto the Lord. And God uses the works of my hand. So when the Bible said in Deuteronomy 8:18, it is God who give you power to get wealth, so that what? He may establish his covenant, which he swore by his friend Abraham. So it is God that give us power. God is not raining money out of the sky, but what he does, he empower us, he favors us, he put there's something on us that he has called us to, and we are favored. People, you know, Bishop Jakes used to say, you don't need everybody to like you. All you just need is just one person to like you. And when that one person, you find that one person, God will use that one person to do you so good, and they don't even understand themselves why they're doing, but they just know that, hey, I just like you. Well, you'll know that's the favor of God. That people willing to take from themselves, from their own personal finances, from their own gift, their own time, and just do things for you. Why? Because God favor you. They're not doing it just because you, yet they like us or whatnot, but people mainly do because it is God working in them. And when they obey God, and the way that God is leading them, then God is setting them up for favor in their life. Things taking place in their life. Why? Because you're not sitting idle thinking of you. You're thinking of the kingdom. You're allowing God to move through you to be a blessing to someone else. That's how the kingdom works. Let me say that to you again. When you and I, people want to do something for us. People want to just buy things for you or just take care. That's because God's favor. They see the hand of God on your life, and God's favor is on you for them to do that. As they obey, then God having someone else to open doors, do things for them in a manner the way. Why? Because they're not saving for themselves. They're not looking to themselves. They're doing it in a manner because God has required something of you. When you hear the word of the Lord, or you have a witness of God's word ministering to you, or you see it in the word itself, and most of the time when God is speaking to you, leading you, I mean, you could be in the grocery store, or you could be out exercising, and somebody you don't even know whether they save or not, and they begin to say things in a manner that you know God used them to get your attention. In other words, it's something he already said to you, but you didn't have understanding, but they gave light to it, and they don't even realize they did. But God uses their vocal cord. God uses conversation. God uses his word. You may be listening. Some of you that's listening right now, I don't know who all that's listening. You may be listening for whatever amount of time you have, and you have a cry in your heart, and then all of a sudden God will use my vocal cord to do what? To answer your prayer, to answer your petition. And you say, whoa, that's what I needed. That's what I needed to hear right there. Well, when that happened, well, guess what? Now you show your gratitude to the Lord. Now you begin to be thankful. Now you begin to say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for letting me hear that. Because, Lord, that thing bothered me so much, and I didn't have no answer. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. So when you do that, notice it. Then you should do what? You should be grateful to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to sow a seed because of what I heard, because you answered my prayer. Because you're not giving because God didn't know. Your appreciation of what he has revealed to you through a stranger like myself, or someone that you don't really conversate with a whole lot. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so here, God is leading this man, Elisha, to do what? To save a widow woman and her son. Now let's look at this, and I want to finish this, and time is not on my side. But notice what he said. And so he said, so notice that. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith and before the Jordan. And notice this. And the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank up the brook. Now there's a famine. But God knows where the water is. God knows how to use a raven to bring food to you and I. And notice it. And it came to pass after a while. That means he was there for a while. After a while, I don't know how long a while was. But God was setting him up just like you and I. So if you're talking about, I want to live out of the kingdom of God, this is a perfect illustration right here of showing you application of the kingdom of God. Now you have to meditate on this. You have to feed on this. You have to think on this. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to give you light, to give you understanding so that you can act on this by faith. And notice this. He said, and it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up because there had been what? No rain in the land. But just because there's no rain in the land, because there's a shortage of this or that, but that doesn't affect you and I. Because what? God has committed himself to take care of you and I. Watch this. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, that's the second time. Now the Lord is moving him. And now he's saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now notice the word. I have commanded a widow woman. You see what he said? I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, he don't know who the woman is. The woman don't know who he is. But what's the first thing he got to do? He got to get to Zarephath. He got to get to that city. That's the same thing about you and I. You got to get to that place called there. God cannot reveal all that's in his hand until you first get in that place. Till you first, and you get there and you begin to do with diligence. You're doing it with everything in you to do what? To follow the will of God. And then God will begin to reveal what's in his hand next for you. And notice this. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman that noticed it, that was there gathering sticks, and he called her. So that means the Lord must have revealed her to him, because he knew it was a widow woman. So he must have known who it is by the leading of the Lord. And he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, and that I may drink. And she said, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat of it and die. You see the extent? This is the last meal. This is the last little water. We just have a handful. Now, but what was the word of the Lord that came to the prophet? I'm sending you to Zarephath to do what? To sustain this widow woman. But it don't look like he's sustaining her. He's asking of her for her last. Well, she's telling him that's all she has. She has no idea that this man was sent by God. He's the answer to her prayer. What am I saying? You're going to have boldness to receive from someone who have less than you. You say, well, I know someone may want to do you good. Someone may want to do something for you. Someone may want to give you something. You say, no. Thank you. I'm okay. You go ahead and keep that for yourself. Well, what you're doing, you're being very prideful. Number two, you're holding that person abundance or the harvest of what they know to do towards you. Remember, people do things towards you because God's favor is on you. God is using you so that he can bless them. Same thing with me. God uses me to give into others so that what? They can be blessed so I can be blessed by someone else. Watch this. As I finish this, we'll talk more about this next week. But notice this. And so she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little cruse of oil, and behold, I am gathering two sticks for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Verse 13, and Elisha said to her, fear not, go. Notice this. The first thing he said, fear not. Oh, I can't. We'll get to that. Go and do as thou hast said, but make thee me thereof a little cake first. See? Now that don't sound right, but notice the word first. Now, because I'm teaching on this, you understand, he said, I sent a widow woman, go to Zarephath, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So all he's doing is following the word. Now, Elisha see this woman's condition, but he has to obey the word of the Lord because this is not normal. What we would do as a man, you know, especially with a woman and a child, we would not eat ourselves. We would not drink ourselves so that they would have. But in the kingdom of God, you got to have a mindset of the kingdom. If they're going to live, if they're going to have more than just today, that man or that woman has something on them, in them, that God sent them to you. And they are the reason for you to not to say this is your last meal. They are the reason for you to live through this famine until the famine is over. But God will use that person, what's in that person, what's on that person to do it, to sustain you until you are able to do for yourself, until the conditions change. This is why we as born of the kingdom of God is so important to the body of Christ. Not just the body of Christ, but we're so important to the world. We're not supposed to be change the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we are the body of Christ. We're supposed to be the change. We're supposed to be the one enforcing the change, overpowering the works of the devil that he has. People who have strung out on addiction, people who strung out in homosexuality, they're deceptive. Satan had deceived their mind that he can control and manipulate them because of deception. That's one of his weapons. You and I, that's born of the kingdom, you are put here to make a difference. And notice this, and I'll close with this. And notice what he said. Elijah said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me first, see? But thereof, he said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you and your son. That is important. Why? The instruction is important to follow when you have a word from God, because if you want to see the hand of God open, if you want to see abundance, if you want to experience the greater peace, the greater joy, the greater victory, you have to first follow the word of the Lord. And Elisha, the woman did as Elisha said. He said, for thus said the Lord God of Israel. Notice this. He said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord send rain upon the earth. So we now know that when he said in verse 1 that the Lord, that he said it won't rain till I give the word, we now see that the Lord gave him the word. What am I saying to you? This prophet is indicating to the woman, as you obey the word of the Lord, then guess what? He said, the barrel of meal should not dry up. The cruse of oil should not fail. The water should not fail. Why? Until the famine is up. And it said, and the barrel of the meal, watch this, wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God spake by Elisha. That's you and I today, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in Southwest Louisiana, we will say, that's you, Chef. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right here. It has been a blessing and an honor to share with you from our online Bible school today, praying and believing that you're catching the concept of understanding the application of the laws of the kingdom. It's more than just say, I have a kingdom mindset. That's good. You need to confess that. We need to believe in that. But then when you have a kingdom mindset, it goes with the ideal. It goes with the concept of the king. The king can begin to speak to you of his way of doing and getting you to release his substance that he put in your hand so that people that you are affect, that you can affect, that you can bring change can be affected by your presence. So today you have an opportunity to sow into the Favor Church. Today is offering day. And if you love to just sow into the Favor Church because of the word, what are you doing? You're sowing into an anointing that's giving you boldness. You're sowing into an anointing that did what? That's causing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. You say, I believe that. I desire to do that. Well, you know, when you sow, you take, as the word say, treasure not. Don't store treasure up with moth and rust and thieves can break through and steal. And it goes to say where your treasure is also where your heart is. So your heart would be what you treasure. So if you treasure this word and you believe in it, then I ask you to sow into the Favor Church. We're going to use it for the ministry. Whatever means we have, whatever ways that we can expand and we can do things differently. That's what the seed is for. And then we'd love for you to have come by and see personally what we are doing and talk to you about the vision that we have. And so if that's you today, we'd love for you to sow into the Favor Church. It's on your screen, Cash App, the Favor Church. The scriptures we're using is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. And we're looking to you to communicate to you and I, to me, of your carnal thing, because I've given unto you the word of the Lord. And so I trust, just like me, as I sow in the other ministries or whatnot, then I trust God that, hey, not to caress you to give, but that you will give out of the spirit of liberty, out of the spirit of being radically changed by the glory of God, and you will sow as the Spirit of God leads you. And so we want you to know we love you, we thank God for you, and as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. If you have any questions or comment, or you'd like to speak to me about anything, you know my number, or you can message me, and I'll get back in touch with you. Love you now. We'll do it again next week, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.